From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 521, Using PowerShell in Linux with guest Timothy Warner, recorded Monday, January 30th, 2017. Run As Radio is produced each week by PWOP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio, bringing back a great guest. Tim Warner is a Microsoft MVP in cloud and data center management and a full-time trainer with Pluralsight. Tim's worked in many varieties of IT since entering the field full-time in 1997. His current areas of focus are Microsoft Azure, cross-platform PowerShell, and open-source technologies, especially and including Linux. Tim and his family reside in Nashville, Tennessee. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Richard. It seems like only yesterday that we talked.
It wasn't that long ago, but, you know, there's such cool topics here. You know, Microsoft's releasing things so quickly. There are days where I feel like I am simply not making enough run as is to keep up with all the stories that are out there.
Right.
So PowerShell and Linux, cross-platform PowerShell. It's kind of crazy talk when you throw that at me. Like, what? Because we've always had the bash prompt, like Linux started out as a scripting environment. Why would we want to throw something new into that?
I agree totally. In fact, this whole Microsoft loves Linux and Microsoft loves open source thing. I mean, you and I both go back in IT quite a ways.
Sure.
Just a handful of years ago, that was inconceivable.
Yep.
But from what I understand, the Azure teams derive a lot of their business from customers who run Linux workloads. And from a Windows administrator perspective, I've been there. I know a lot of other Windows sysadmins who are forced, kicking and screaming in some cases, to support Linux.
Right.
And they've maybe gotten over their learning curve with PowerShell. Wouldn't it be beautiful for them to leverage that consistent syntax and consistent workflow across their Linux physical and virtual machines as well? It makes quite a bit of sense, I think.
Sure. But what's interesting now is it feels like a real role reversal, because there was a lot of Linux administrators that were dragged kicking and screaming into running Windows servers too, and were missing their bash prompts. Like, my management approaches from a Linux perspective don't work for Windows either.
That still seems to be the case. I worked at Vanderbilt University here in Nashville a number of years ago, and I don't think it's changed even now in 2017, where you have a very much us versus them deal, where you have research professionals or whatever their job is at the university who you'd have to pry the Linux box from their cold, dead fingers to take it away from them. And they want absolutely nothing to do with not only Windows, but Microsoft in general.
And I don't have a problem with people who love their Linux or would rather not work on Windows, but it is the hatred that I think is particularly crazy.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate and definitely counterproductive. In my experience, the other side of that, many Windows sysadmins that I know aren't so much resentful towards Linux and open source. It's just another intimidation factor, because like you said, Richard, the bash shell and the commands are so terse,
sure,
and so unintuitive a lot of times that there's just the thought, I don't have time for this. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, and the lineage or the heritage around Linux and its Unix precursor, like these, every byte counted when they were first writing these tools. And you built little apps that did individual things, and then you piped from one to the next to do the series of tasks. So much of configuration was almost just modifying text files and then hupping the service. You know, that is just a very different way of thinking than the PowerShell approach to scripting is dramatically different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a very key learning point for those Windows sysadmins nowadays who are coming to grips with PowerShell, especially if they've had experience in the Linux environment. Because like you said, everything in Linux and even in Windows, the old cmd.exe environment, you're dealing with text.
Right.
So if you're, you know, running a PS to get a process list and you need to export or do something with that data, you're running through all this arcane pipeline stuff with grep and sed and awk to try to cut down literally text columns and rows to parse down your output.
Yep.
And then what are you going to do with that output? Maybe you can print a report, but PowerShell is fundamentally different, of course, because everything is an object, is a .NET object. So therefore, when you run a process list, a get process, you're dealing with actual honest-to-goodness instances of the process class that has properties and methods and events, and you can actually do stuff directly from the PowerShell pipeline. So powerful.
Yeah, these are objects, right? They're not just text. And so you have that natural ability to walk through a collection of objects and do things to them or treat them as a group.
Right. And I'm not a developer myself. I call myself a hobbyist developer. Sure. Certainly, I'm an administrative scripter. But I'm absolutely fascinated with what the PowerShell development team is doing here, because in implementing Windows PowerShell, I can't even call it Windows PowerShell anymore, I'll just call it PowerShell.
Right.
You're taking commands in Linux and output that's ordinarily text, and you're wrangling it into an object orientation.
Yes.
That's dark art stuff right there.
Well, and it's a question of, is this a good idea? Like, does this, for someone who's been able to do this the other way for so long, what does this really bring to the table that makes my life better? Is it just the ability to treat things as collections?
I think one big push is desired state configuration.
Right.
I mean, that's been an evolving ecosystem for sure. I've been specialized in Azure now for the last year, and I'm a big fan of Azure automation and the ability to do DSC in the cloud. And already in the Azure ecosystem, it's pretty darn easy to onboard and manage Linux machines. If a business isn't quite there yet, but they are getting into DSC, it's a big pain point potentially. If half your machines are Windows and half are Linux, you've got these DSC configurations and everything's ticking along fine on the Windows side. But meanwhile, what are you going to have to deploy a separate configuration management solution for Linux?
Right.
Wouldn't it be nice to be able to use the same system to lock down the Linux machines and configure them properly, prevent drift that you do in Windows?
Yeah, and very challenging to do that, actually, because, of course, one of the distinctions in Linux is you can change configuration, but until you restart the service or reboot the box, you never actually see those changes. They're just config files. They don't mean anything. You know, when does a change actually apply when you're talking about the two different environments?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does bring up interesting configuration management points.
Sure.
Windows and Linux are so darn different in that regard. I mean, both have environment variables, but there's no registry in Linux, of course. Like you said, it's text files. Yeah. Everything's a file in the Linux file system.
Windows used to be like that too. It used to be ini files, right?
Oh boy. That brings back happy and sad memories.
Painful.
Windows 3.11 for workgroups.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and writing stuff to the System 32 folder, are you kidding me?
Right.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
But you expose yourself to some stuff. But the other aspect I think is really interesting here is the biggest thing I see in PowerShell are all of these commandlets into different services, right? The ability to command IIS any way you want or Exchange any way you want. It's not just the operating system you're controlling here. It's this suite of software.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, with PowerShell, you can get to any subsystem of a system.
Mm-hmm.
As of now, January 2017, are we still in January? Yeah, just barely.
Just barely, yeah.
As of this recording. But the PowerShell engine for Linux is in an alpha state. So,
right.
I mean, there's certainly a long way to go in it. You can pretty much just do a proof of concept with it now. But potentially, I can see, like you said, initially, just being able to do basic sysadministration using PowerShell syntax. But eventually, I mean, the ability to manage software packages like we can in Windows PowerShell.
Mm-hmm.
And the proverbial sky's the limit.
Yeah, no, it opens the door to all those things. I can't imagine you writing a script in PowerShell that would run identically on a Windows box and a Linux box. I think they're going to have to be different.
Yeah, I definitely agree. To our point a couple minutes ago about the day-to-day configuration just being different with the static text config files versus the registry. Yeah, it's a different beast. Like I said, I think, and don't consider me the be-all opinion, of course, but my observations are, on one hand, easing basic administration for those who are more comfortable with Windows and PowerShell. Instead of using all the wacky bash commands, they can use a consistent, familiar syntax. And the other would be for configuration management with DSC and potentially Azure DSC.
Mm-hmm. So I could also see stuff like authentication. Like, I mean, one of the nice things of PowerShell is the ability to navigate Active Directory structures. I wonder if you could go in and pull Samba data from a Linux box the same way and be able to walk user accounts and assign privileges, that sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure. The PS drive system, the data provider system in PowerShell is wonderful in that regard. You know, whether you're looking at Active Directory or SQL Server or on a Linux side, Apache, MySQL or Open Directory or more, you know, the traditional Linux enterprise solutions. It seems to me it would be a very similar procedure.
Sure.
I don't envy the developers who are doing this.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine what this is like for them.
Well, and the question is, do you cater to the experienced Windows PowerShell person who also wants to administer Linux, as opposed to dealing with Linux people who, you know, learning PowerShell because it's a better way to manage Windows boxes?
I've felt some pushback at conferences and so forth when I discuss with people who are maybe predominantly open source developers or administrators. And the first thing that most of them say is what you said at the start of this discussion. Why would I need anything besides the Bash shell and maybe some Perl? I can get any administrative scripting I need done just fine, thank you very much.
Right.
Why do I care about PowerShell on Linux?
And I think you want to show this example. Like, when I think about really sophisticated PowerShell scripts, there's stuff that if I, to try and write something like that in awk or throw a little Python in, like, that's very challenging to me. But most of those come from reaming important data from Active Directory, checking against different PS drive services, different applications and things. Like, that's where you get into magic. It's just that I don't know if that's even possible in the alpha versions. Like, we feel like we're a long way away from the real power of PowerShell.
Well, something that just popped into my mind is the power of PowerShell remoting.
Right.
The fact that, you know, with PowerShell remoting, you can get in and get out of a system bidirectionally. That is, from Linux into Windows or Windows into Linux. And whether it's running scripts remotely or pushing DSC configurations, I'm hoping that communication and administration cross-platform will just simply be made easier with PowerShell being available on both.
Yeah. You know, we don't want to log into other machines anymore. We want to have a remote access that simply runs, executes the command under a given security context.
You know, that expression, that DevOps mantra of, we should look at our servers not as individual pets, but as cattle.
Yeah.
Instead of getting hung up on individual nodes, just, I care about individual nodes if there's a problem, if there's a compliance deviation or something, but... No, I just want to hit enter once and hopefully have things make it so, as they say in the DSC terminology.
Yeah, so when you think about a big deploy script, something substantial where you may have a few Linux boxes alongside a few Windows boxes, so it's all one script, but they're definitely different commands for different machines. You certainly want a common way to access them all. And a common syntax kind of makes things nicer, even if the actual commands are going to be different because you're dealing with different operating systems and they have different rules.
Yeah, I mean, and we should say explicitly that PowerShell on Linux is tapping directly into .NET Core, which is another, I think, landmark achievement for Microsoft.
Sure.
To have the .NET framework available on Linux and Mac OS.
Yeah, just running on these different environments. And, well, the fastest version of ASP.NET Core right now is the Kestrel edition running on Linux, which is really interesting when you think about it.
There you go.
That's if you were just trying to squeeze maximum performance and scale really hugely and, you know, not have to pay for licenses across all those servers.
Right.
You know, that's where Linux kind of shines. So there's certainly an argument there. And that's .NET all the way down. No two ways about it. But it's such a different philosophy. Maybe there's a whole other show here, and I don't mean to distract, but IIS versus Kestrel. You know, IIS, like Apache web server of the same era, they're like the Swiss Army knives. Right? Everything's in there. And by the way, all the blades are out. You have to consciously put them all back in.
Right.
You know, and the counterpoint to that in the Apache world, no JS. No, nothing on. You have to turn each thing on. And I think Kestrel, the ASP.NET Core implementation, same thing. It's literally each service is specified. So very, you know, in that sense, we're going to the same philosophies and arguably for the same reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole movement, that gradual movement, it's so cool to see that. I mean, to go back in time to the first versions of Windows Server, NT in 2000, the open by default gradually going into secure or closed by default. And even more so lately now in the past year or so with the Nano Server implementation in Windows Server 2016, this Kestrel project that you're mentioning for ASP.NET. Yeah, I like it. Lean and mean.
But it's also, it's where we have a commonality with the Linux folks. They've gone this way too, and for very much the same reasons. It's about reducing size, reducing attack surface. You know, we're all moving the same way and very much for the same reasons.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It wasn't too long ago that for some businesses, it was a no-brainer to deploy their app on Linux because of that, you know, the mystique of security.
For sure. Hey, Tim, give me one second here to pay the bills because this episode of Run As is brought to you by IT Edge Intersection. IT is transforming and the techniques and tools you've used for the past decade or more are less relevant. It's all changing. Cloud services are reality, automation is penetrating all aspects of operations, and software is being delivered faster than ever. It's no longer a safe bet to just sit and do what you've been doing. But there's no reason to panic. The experts at IT Edge Intersection are here to help you understand how to use these new technologies, new approaches, and new techniques, all with a real-world focus that acknowledges the realities that you deal with every day. Make your job easier and up your value to your organization by attending IT Edge Intersection in Orlando, May 21st to 24th. Use the code RUNAS to get a discount on your registration at itedgeintersection.com. I'll see you there. All right. So I'm in an organization, probably predominantly Windows. There's a few Linux boxes out there running around. I want to sort of get a handle on how to administer them without separate tooling. Is this a common scenario? Is this what we're talking about when we talk about PowerShell for Linux?
Yeah, I think that's exactly where we're going. Again, with the caveat that the PowerShell development team is in learning mode still and the actual engine is in alpha. But yeah, definitely. I mean, I would hope that most Windows sysadmins have gotten the memo by now that getting proficient with PowerShell is not optional anymore.
Yeah.
So I hope that if they've already reached their learning curve and have some comfortability, yes, definitely. The next logical step is to apply some of this automation and power to their Linux servers as well.
So where do I get the Linux edition of PowerShell?
Okay, good. Like you mentioned, PowerShell, it would be GitHub at the PowerShell repository.
Right.
So it's the PowerShell team's PowerShell project. And at first, when I saw the blog post from the PowerShell team that said PowerShell is open source, I thought, well, surely that can't be the entire PowerShell engine. This must be just the bits for Linux and Mac OS. And that is true. You can download the alphabets. A little pop culture reference. I don't know if that cereal's still around. But anyway, you can get the bits there. But I verified with Bruce Payette, who's like the lead architect of PowerShell, that it's the idea is to open source just about the entire thing. Of course, with Windows, it's a fundamentally different deal because you can only have one instance of PowerShell on the box, and there's some parts of the code base that are not open sourceable, so you can't compile PowerShell for Windows. But certainly the Linux and Mac OS implementations, the source is all there for you to inspect. You can build the executable yourself or just download the files directly.
And I'm looking at github.com/PowerShell/PowerShell, and they've got specific support for Ubuntu 16, Ubuntu 14, CentOS 7, and Mac OS 10. And a Docker package, because of course Docker.
Yeah, of course. That almost goes without saying nowadays, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
It looks like they just went for the low-hanging fruit, the most popular Linux distros, which makes perfect sense. I don't know if that list will expand in time. I can only assume that Red Hat will be added. It shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah, there's some relationship going on between Microsoft and Red Hat right now. You'd think that would show up, but this is an open source project. If your distro is not listed here, you could add it and, you know, just get it up and running. It can't be that wildly different.
No, it really isn't. You're right. I'm just so jazzed to see so many of these Microsoft projects that are open source in GitHub. It makes sense here, of course, because, as you know, most of the open source software is governed by the GNU GPL or the MIT license. So Microsoft needs to reveal the source code, but they appear to be more than willing to do so and to accept pull requests from the community, the general public. It's a really nice time to be a Microsoft specialist, I think.
It's an interesting time. The real question is what this does to the market long term too, right? Like I am finding that communities are changing and their perceptions of value are shifting as well. So for many of us in the business, it's a little disruptive. It's like, what do you make your living from here? You know, PowerShell, clearly a free product, obviously needs to be learned. Your skills are the only thing that are going to matter. But you know, when PowerShell is given away this way, it's harder to sell product around PowerShell too. So it makes you wonder, you know, does it make sense for you to sit down and try and figure out some good extensions for PowerShell for Linux that folks may be willing to pay for?
Right. Yeah, exactly. The independent software vendor or ISV approach. I see your point.
Yeah. And I'm not immediately down on this. I'm sure there's opportunities, especially when stuff's young and raw, to say, oh, there's lots of holes to fill. Let me fill some in and folks will kick you money. But, you know, that is always the question, right? Can you get to a sustainable position with add-ons to things, these sorts of things?
And I guess it should be said also that I think that many IT people have a point in saying this DevOps methodology is cool. It's nice that you have a lot of this open sourced, but the velocity at which you're doing releases is really messing my stuff up here because I'm used to the so-called mode one IT where we are very careful about making changes. We're really slow, we're really predictable. And more we've got this mode two, this agile, continuous integration, continuous deployment model. That's a big push I'm seeing in the industry now.
Although, I mean, you want to be able to go faster. There's obviously demand to go faster. And you know, the argument is always your competitor's going faster. That doesn't forego the need to do testing. The difference here is you've got to automate. So, you know, the pressure's on to say, I want to spend money both in tooling and training to do that deep levels of testing so that we can say, hey, what happens if we shift up an OS? Like, let's walk through the primary suite of apps and with automation to say, yeah, they still run.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've just been able to get away with it as IT people where you're just doing hand walkthroughs, right? I've got a playthrough script of what to validate. And I spend most of my time setting up the lab for the new environment than I do actually doing the testing.
Yeah, and I can see those developers who are more comfortable working on Linux workstations, a lot of this stuff is immediately available to you. I mean, the PowerShell editor services and being able to use Visual Studio Code to script PowerShell and debug it. Well, heck, you know, VS Code, you can do anything, not just PowerShell. And then the Pester framework, which is super popular nowadays.
Yes.
You know, it fits right into that testing and automation framework that's at the center of PowerShell.
Well, but I think it's a challenge for IT folks. We've talked about this a few times on the show now. It's a challenge for IT folks to think in terms of, you're writing code now, dude. Like, that's reality. Right. And it needs to be tested, just like your developer's code needs to be tested. And if it isn't, you know, it's not real code.
Yeah, that speaks to the philosophy of DevOps, and I think speaks to the fundamental challenge that a business has is embracing that. The developers need to learn to speak sysadmin, sysadmin need to speak developers, and both sysadmins and developers need to speak business speak.
Yeah.
And realize that by working together and delivering product faster and more accurately, everybody wins.
Yes.
The company, the customer, everybody.
So, the reality now is we have a tool suite, and you know, I wear a dev hat as often as I wear an IT hat. We now have a tool suite for your scripts that represents source code control, testing frameworks, like all of the stuff that regular development code has. Because I've had scripts for 40 years. It's been 40 years, man. How did that happen? And, you know, my first scripts were sitting on cassette tapes, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But they were always personal. You know, up to just a few years ago, these scripts were very personal things. These are things I built for me. I'm the only one who uses them. They're on my USB key. But when you talk about using Pester and these kinds of environments, you're talking about scripts that are available to the organization. They're no longer an individual scripts. That's a very deep philosophical change.
Yep, it sure is, because it requires that the sysadmins, who may be code allergic or development allergic, embrace, for better or for worse, embrace traditionally developer-y stuff, like you said, source code control and unit testing and so forth.
It's not enough that you've now gone configuration as code and you can now deploy a Linux instance and configure it with this PowerShell library. You have to let other people use it. So it has
there
to be
go.
Documented, it has to be checked in, it has to have tests around it. You've got to let other people change it. It's got to work when you're not in the building.
Yeah. And I challenge developers in the audience to ask some sysadmins to show them a few things.
Sure.
You know, because again, there's just as much of that tunnel vision, I think, on the development side about how operations works being a black, you know, being a black art and not being relevant to them. I think it very much is.
Yeah, no, I really do. I've always been a big believer in cross-team training, having devs work on a deploy or being part of a weekend firefight when the website's struggling to stay up because of a commercial load and vice versa, making sure there's an ops guy in the room during an architectural meeting, you know, just so they're part of the conversation early on about the way we build and operate software.
Yeah, the conversation came up with a colleague the other day about how I think most IT people have been there maybe earlier in their careers, the false thought that, oh, well, I need to be the only one who knows how to do X, Y, Z in my business because that's going to ensure my job security.
That is not a good way to think.
No.
But, you know, thinking through this model, Tim, really sort of hits me of, I think this is one of the limitations with your sort of traditional bash scripting approach is I don't know this kind of discipline exists in the Linux world either. We're both struggling with how do you mature these scripts so that they're not the purview of an individual, but the purview of a team.
Yeah, I agree completely. Bash automation scripts tend to be, like you said, Richard, very personal.
Yes.
And rarely shared.
Yeah, they're secret sauce and they're hard to understand, and it was what you were thinking at the time. Like actually getting, it's one that you can share them in a community so that people, you know, do a little cut and paste inheritance to assemble their own scripts. But within an organization, you know, those are John's scripts. And if you need those done, you need something like that done, you should ask John. He has a script for that. They're not the team scripts. So I think that's a much more, you know, irrespective of the DevOps of reaching beyond the immediate team, just within operations. Do we have these tools that are that everybody has access to, that everybody understands, that everybody trusts? I think that's very challenging culturally.
A great baby step for an operations team, I think, is to try out source code control. It's like, oh, wow, we can actually share all of our personal scripts and nobody's stepping on each other's changes. And maybe we can actually learn here, you know?
Yeah. Even if they do step on any changes, you have a record of it, right? That's all. I'm not stopping anybody from doing anything. I just know that we can always get back to known good because we have a record of everything that's been changed in the order it was changed. Heck, who changed it? So that you can actually work all that stuff out. That's the power of the good source management. It's just having a permanent record of the truth. Nothing disappears. Right.
Yep, exactly.
I don't know. It's interesting that to think in terms of we're coming into the Linux world and we feel like we're behind. And at the same time, I think we have very much the same sets of problems. You know, controlling attack surfaces, working effectively in teams, working in the larger team that is the organization. These are they're common challenges.
I mean, we've got more than ever before just a blending.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Bash subsystem that you can install in Windows 10, for heaven's sake. That's pretty amazing.
They keep telling me that's only for devs right now. But as an operations guy, I'm like, tell me when I can have it.
Yeah.
Exciting times, Tim. Thanks so much for chatting about this. I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes.
Same here. Thank you, Richard.
You bet. And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.